Well, I don't favor talking to vermin, but I'll talk to you just this once.
Exchange-traded funds are the investment world's new frontier.
You better listen.
But with so many choices and styles, the ETF world is a bit like the Wild Wild West, filled with new issues and ideas, but fraught with the same old dangers of investing.
If you're looking for trouble, I'll accommodate you.
Every Thursday, Tom Lydon of ETF Trends comes to Money Life to tell us about one ETF that is wearing the white hat right now.
Take it easy. We are the good guys.
He'll point out the good, the bad, and the ugly as he tells you which investment is worth taking a shot on.
That's good shooting.
And names his ETF of the week.
Now, Wild West.
That's right. We're starting this Thursday, as we do every Thursday, with the ETF of the week from Tom Lydon. Now, Tom is the president of Global Trends Asset Management, the editor of ETFtrends.com, and it is not just a site where you say, oh, let me go find out what's happening in terms of, you know, what's Tom's recommendations. There's a lot of news and other things where if you are an ETF investor, it is really a soup to nuts kind of a place for you to go and get quality information about ETFs, not just the ones we talk about here on the show or what have you, but about all ETFs. So if you want to take that journey, ETFtrends.com. On Twitter, at ETF Trends, and Tom is on Twitter. He's at Tom Lydon. Tom, welcome back to Money Life.
Hey, thanks, Chuck.
Our ETF of the week is...
the Spider S&P Bank ETF, ticker KBE.
All right, the Spider Bank ETF, KBE, the ticker, banks now, Tom. Banks haven't really been anybody's favorite thing to own since 2008 in the financial crisis. A lot of folks have said they've been tough to value. Is this one of those cases where, hey, because it's an ETF, I'm letting somebody else do the valuation and I can get more comfortable?
Well, you're right, Chuck. This is one of those cases where, obviously, ETFs represent broad indexes, but also certain sectors. And this week, we're hearing a lot about the Fed's annual Comprehensive Capital Analysis and Review Program, the CCAR, which is underway, where at least once a year, the Fed will tell banks how much they can return to investors, kind of a follow-up on the whole Dodd-Frank Act. So that's a good thing, because really, when you look at the financial wherewithal and the financial health of banks today, so much better than after the financial crisis. They're kind of working their way back, still not back to where they were in 2007, but they're getting there. But the other thing here is banks are sitting on a bunch of cash. They're increasing their dividends. And with the news this week, we'll expect banks to pay out more dividends. As the market so far year to date, as far as the S&P is concerned, is fairly flat, there are more and more investors that are looking for income, looking for dividends. And with the stress test that's been in place over these years, and with the Fed coming in regularly to test these banks, most banks are getting straight A's. So that's a good thing as you're looking to not only grow your capital, but also get the dividends as well.
And consumers should understand that ETFs and mutual funds are passed through obligations. So whatever dividends the fund achieves, basically that all gets passed through. But if this is going to be a dividend play, so it's going to be more about the income than it is about the securities, does that change its role in the portfolio?
Well, it may, and I think this is one of those separate investments that if you are a somewhat savvy investor and you're looking at, you know, after the financial crisis and you're, you know, 5-6 years older and you're starting to look to dividends and income as a greater percentage of your portfolio, here's a way where you can, A, invest in an area that might, from a stable standpoint, be a little bit more that you can count on. And then on top of that, it's got that dividend kicker that should be good as well. So what the folks at S&P and Spiders have done is they've created an index of 52 different banks, and they represent all areas, you know, diversified, so the mortgages, asset management and custody banks, regional banks, and you get them all in an equally weighted index. So there are 52 individual holdings, equally weighted. What that ends up meaning is you don't own a big chunk of the big banks. They're in there, but you get large cap, mid cap, and small caps. So the mid cap and small cap area actually represent more. And they're under the same scrutiny that the big banks are under. And what tends to happen is during times of economic recovery, those smaller and mid-sized banks are able to act a little bit more quicker. They're a little bit more nimble. They can ramp up their marketing efforts, their hiring efforts. And as appetite for mortgages or loans increase, especially while rates still historically are at pretty low levels, they're in a better position to take advantage of that. So just something to think about. As far as the allocation aspect of it, I would look at this as something outside of your diversified portfolio. Maybe you put 3 to 5% of your growth money in there. Don't take this out of your income allocation. And just trade it on the 200-day average, because it's been a very, very steady climb off of the low in the financial crisis. It's been above its 200-day average for about a year and a half. And as long as it maintains that steady increase and the income dividends that you receive, I think most investors should be in pretty good shape.
Really interesting. And of course, you answered the next question, which was this going to be a 200-day moving average play? So quickly, you know, you talked about it being above the 200-day moving average for like over a year now. For investors, do they ever worry that that gets long in the tooth or not?
Well, as you pointed out earlier, banks really haven't performed as well as the general market, especially in the last year or so. They've been coming back, but it's been slow and steady. What this also means is it's not current price is not dramatically above the 200-day average. So, for example, if you bought it and you were to sell it on the 200-day average, you wouldn't need to have a 15% decline, for example. So that's another thing I think that can come into play. But it's a well-diversified sector bet for sure. It's got the income kicker, which is nice. And then on top of that, with all the Fed news and the fact that this stress test to a great degree really has been helping out the banking sector, I think it's a very safe recommendation, especially if you have an exit strategy.
And the exit strategy, as we said, was that 200-day moving average. But what we are talking about is the ETF of the week, the SPDR S&P Bank ETF, ticker symbol KBE.
Money in the bank.
Yep, money in the bank for a small piece of your portfolio, according to Tom Lydon. Tom is the president of Global Trends Asset Management, the editor of ETF Trends. Tom, thanks as always.
Thanks, Chuck.
Remember, you can get more information at ETFTrends.com or on Twitter at ETF Trends. Hey, we've just gotten started on the Thursday edition of Money Life. The big interview is next, so don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.